In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Many of you, perhaps like me, watched The Crown when it was on a few years ago on HBO or Netflix. I forget which one. In one episode, Queen Elizabeth was preparing to speak on the 40th anniversary of her ascension to the throne. And it had been, as she names it in Latin, an annus horribilis, a dreadful year of family turmoil and national sorrow. As she gets ready to acknowledge these difficulties, the Queen Mother discovers that's what she's going to say and urges her to avoid speaking the truth aloud. Time flies, the Queen Mother insists. Why give voice to failure? Why memorialize it? And Queen Elizabeth replies with rare vulnerability. She says, "I am also made of blood and flesh, and perhaps our family has fallen short in its duty." Which the Queen Mother answer sharply, "Apology. That word should not be in your vocabulary. When you wear the crown, you are transfigured. To apologize would diminish not only your dignity, but God's, whose will it is that you are who you are." So, there you have it, in a single exchange, the old human theology of monarchy, the belief that God ordains certain people to rule and the rest of us to be ruled. The divine favor rests on the powerful, and that some people are almost more than human. This way of thinking is older than any throne in England. It has shaped empires and dynasties and systems in which the wealth of the few is justified as the will of God. It is, as Scripture repeatedly reminds us, a temptation as old as the people of Israel who begged Samuel for a king so they would be like the other nations. But on this final Sunday of the church year, the Feast of Christ the King, the church boldly proclaims a different kind of kingship. We celebrate not the kingship that crowns some with privilege and leaves the rest in shadows, but the reign of the one whose crown is of thorns, whose throne is a cross, whose royal banner is self-giving love. In our civic life, we are the heirs to a remarkable experiment that authority does not descend from divine right, but arises from the people. We, the people, choose our leaders, not as sovereigns to rule over us, but as servants who govern with us. This in itself echoes the scriptural conviction that all people are created with equally in dignity, as we are all made in the image of God. And yet, if we're honest, we have struggled, we still struggle, to live fully into that truth. The earliest chapters of our national story gave voice only to land-owning white men. Others, all women, all people of color, all Native Americans, everyone who was poor, were denied the franchise, denied equal dignity under the law, denied the fullness of their God-given humanity. But little by little, through struggle and with grace, our common life has moved closer towards the truth that our faith proclaims, that every person, without exception, is knit together by God, that every person without exception is beloved of God, and that every person without exception is called into the freedom of God's children. And now we come to a gospel appointed for today, and here is our King, not seated on a throne, but hanging on a cross between two criminals. And from that place of utter vulnerability, he speaks the royal words of his kingdom, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And to the thief beside him, he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." What earthly monarch offers pardon to his own executioners? What ruler promises paradise to a condemned man? What king reigns by forgiving, by restoring, by raising up the lowly? This is the upside-down kingdom that Jesus inaugurates, a reign in which the last are the first, the poor inherit the earth, where the lost are sought until they are found, and where the measure of a society is how it treats the most vulnerable. Mary sang of that kind of kingdom when she proclaimed that God would cast down the mighty and lift up the lowly. Jesus proclaimed that kind of kingdom at Nazareth when he read Isaiah and claimed as his own words, "Good news to the poor, release to the captives, and sight to the blind." And he embodies it on Calvary, where he shares the fate of the powerless so that God might raise him in glory and reveal the true nature of divine power. The reign of Christ is not built upon domination, but upon mercy. The reign of Christ is not built upon coercion, but communion. The reign of Christ is not built upon privilege, but rather justice. Not upon exclusion, but upon a beloved community. Jesus' words from the cross, "They do not know what they are doing," still speaks to us. For we too often fail to recognize how deeply the old patterns of power continue to shape us. We remain enthralled by wealth, celebrity, and influence. We are tempted to believe, if only in subtle ways, that some lives matter more than others. And when we focus the gospel solely on what happens after we die, well, then we risk missing what Jesus actually came to teach, that the kingdom of God breaks into the world in the here and now. Eternal life in Scripture begins in this life, in the way we treat the least of these, in the way we resist systems that diminish human dignity, in the ways we choose compassion over fear. Brothers and sisters, the reign of Christ is not a far-off heaven. It is instead the life made possible when we see one another as members of one body, one household, one family in Christ. My flourishing could not come at the expense of yours, and your well-being enriches mine. This is how God has ordered creation, not a pyramid of privilege, but a communion of mutual belonging. As we come to the close of this liturgical year, we do so under the gaze of Christ our King, the Shepherd King, the Servant King, the Crucified and Risen King. His crown is humility. His scepter is compassion. His law is love. His court is the company of the poor, the broken, the overlooked, the forgotten. His reign is justice that flows like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And he invites us, you and me, he actually commissions us, you and me, to bear that reign into the world in our civic engagement, in our daily choices, and in every place where God's children long for justice, dignity, and hope. May we have the courage to follow such a King, and may his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.